I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but the older I get, and I'm pretty old, it seems like I wake up earlier. Can anyone relate to that? So actually last night I woke up and it was the right time to get up, and I'm like, praise God. So I actually feel pretty good today. So hopefully that'll help. But if you didn't get enough sleep, may this sermon bless you with good sleep. So every heart is thirsty. The question is not if you're thirsty. The question is, where are you going to drink? Some people try money, relationships, success, pleasure. But like the old song says, many climb the highest mountain, and yet the cry of their heart is, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, many years ago, there was a song by U2 called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. How many of you have ever heard of that song? You know, most of us have, yeah. And it goes like this. I've climbed the highest mountain. I've run through the fields only to be with you, only to be with you. I've run, I've crawled, I've scaled these city walls only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And maybe today you're out there and you can relate. You've followed the plan that our world gives us, you know, the American dream. You've followed that plan, and maybe you've been really successful in that world. And yet there's something in your heart saying, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And today my message to you is very clear, and if you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope you get this. You were made to drink from a different well. You were made to drink from a different well. Now, in John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman who had been drinking from the wrong well. Now, he meets her at an ancient well, and that kind of would have been like us going to the grocery store to get bottled water. She was at this well to get water. Now, what's interesting is that she was there at noon. Now, this was the hottest time of the day. Most women would have went at night or in the morning. They didn't go at noon. It was too hot. So around noon, they would have been, you know, most women would have been eating lunch. They would have been taking a nap. They would have been seeking shade. But here was this woman, this Samaritan woman, who came to the well at noon. Why? To avoid people. She was kind of like an outcast. And then all of a sudden, she hears someone say, can you give me something to drink? And she probably looked and she's like, whoa. A Jewish man named Jesus had talked to her. Now, first of all, you need to understand that the Jews and the Samaritans back in this culture despised one another. In fact, a strict Jew would have walked around, even if it was inconvenient, would have gone out of their way to avoid Samaria. And yet, here was this Samaritan man speaking to her. And she's probably like... And the other thing is that back in this culture, a man did not speak to a woman in public unless he was related to her. And she's like, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And then Jesus, this Jewish man, said to her these amazing words. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is you ask for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, everyone who drinks this water, he's talking about earthly water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, I hope you get this. You were made to drink from a different well, the well of living water. So Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. He's like, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. Now, back in that culture, that would have really been looked down upon. Now, what's happening here? Jesus is pointing out that this woman was looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. She was trying to meet that deep hunger in her heart through men. She had had five husbands, and the guy she was with now was not her husband. And Jesus is just trying to gently ask her to think about where she has been turning to try to quench that inner thirst. And here's the uncomfortable question of the morning. Where have you been going to try to quench that thirst? What have you been turning to? You know, I think of John D. Rockefeller. Someone once asked him, how much money would it take to make you happy? And he said, just a little more. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's money, achievement. Where are you looking? Now, in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cistern, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now, Jeremiah is basically saying that the people had this pure, living, life-giving water available to them, the Lord, but here they were instead drinking the soiled, dirty water of this world. And if ever there's a message that depicts our culture, it's the one I'm speaking today. There's that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's the temptation. The devil will always try to get us to leave the spring of living water and try this other stuff that in the end might be tasteful, but lead to broken lives, broken homes, and broken dreams. See, you were made to drink from a different well. Are you listening? Say amen. So what I'm about to speak now is, I think, very important, is that how do we as followers of Christ look at someone who's maybe living an immoral lifestyle? Think about someone in your life that maybe they're living a lifestyle. You're like, wow, that's not a very godly lifestyle. Man, that's very immoral. And sometimes as Christians, we can have a very condemning attitude. It's kind of like, Lord, help me to forgive those who sin differently than me. You know, we can look at those that are living a lifestyle that is immoral, and we can have bad judgment towards them. We can judge them. What if instead our attitude was, they're thirsty? They're just looking to quench that thirst in the wrong place. In fact, there's a sentence in this text that I think is so powerful. It says, he had to pass through Samaria. Now, this was Jesus. He had to. And I think this shows the heart of our Lord, that he's like, there is a lost soul in Samaria, and I have to go and share the living water with her. Imagine if that was our attitude as followers of Christ, that we were willing to even go to our enemies, and that we were willing to just break social culture norms and all that stuff. But imagine if instead of looking at immoral people and condemning them in our mind and being self-righteous and arrogant, what if instead our attitude was, they're thirsty, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I am compelled by the love of Christ to go and share the living water with them. So one of my great memories growing up is, so I lived on a farm south of Casson, and often when we would come home, one of the things my dad would do is he would make us these little like snacks. And usually like it was in like a sandwich bag, there would be like cookies, and then he'd put the Twister thing around it, and then he'd have like a can of Pepsi. And then in front of all these treats, he'd have like a 3x5 card with our name on it. You know, so it was us three brothers, and we all got the same thing. But he would put our name tags in front of it, and we'd come home, and that's just a great memory I have of my dad. Well, a few years back, my parents stayed with us for an extended period of time, like 3 months, and my dad did the same thing with our kids, as he'd leave out these snacks. So I can only imagine what my kids thought when one day they looked, and it was one of those soap
pods.
Do you know what goes in the dishwasher? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? So they came home and there was the treats, and one of them was that one of those soap pods. And they're like, "Grandpa, what is this?" Well, he thought it was a new candy bar or something. So he didn't realize that it was, you know, like a soap thing or whatever. So, you know, they're like, "Are we in trouble? You know, soap in our mouth?" Dad does that once in a while. But you know, imagine if they would have eaten that. They wouldn't have been satisfied, right? And that's a great illustration of what happens in our culture, is that many people are eating and drinking from sources that are dirty, from sources that are impure, from sources that they may taste good at the moment. Oh, yes, there is a season of pleasure in sin. The Bible says that. There's a season of pleasure in sin, but then the reality sets in, and it's very dangerous. And where have I been drinking from the wrong source? Where have we been searching for love in the wrong places? And Jesus says, whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Never thirst. Now, the water that Jesus is speaking of is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living within us. And what we learn from this story is that the thing that your heart has been searching all these years for, the thing that your heart has been searching, is not a thing. It's a person. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis, the former atheist who became a Christian, said, "God made us, invented us as a man invented an engine. A car was made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. God designed our human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it's no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering with faith. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself, because it is not there." You know, Jesus said in John 4:14, "But whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Did you see this? That this water, the Holy Spirit, that the Lord gives us, doesn't just bless us here on earth, but it follows into eternity. What are we learning today? I think it was Augustine in his book, The Confessions. He said, "You've made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. You were made to drink from a different well than our culture is teaching. Our culture is teaching us, you know, the satisfaction is found in this and this and this and this. Everything but God, right? Those broken cisterns. All right. So if true satisfaction comes from worshiping Jesus, how do we worship the Lord effectively? What does it mean to worship the Lord effectively? Well, Jesus said, "A time is coming, has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Now, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So notice that we're to worship the Lord. We're to, and that goes beyond just singing songs to him. That's a relationship with the Lord. In him we move and have our being. It's abiding in Christ. It's an everyday conversation and walk with the Lord. But notice that Jesus says that when we worship, it needs to be in spirit and in truth. Now, what does it mean to worship the Lord in spirit? Well, the Jewish people had kind of reduced worship to kind of outward forms and ceremonies. They would bow to the ground, but their heart was somewhere else. In other words, it was just kind of like a rote duty. It was just kind of going through the motions. And what Jesus says here is that when we worship the Lord, he wants our hearts to be in it. He wants our hearts to be sincere. I remember when I was in sports in high school, our coaches would say, "Put your heart into it. Don't just go to, does anyone know what I'm talking about? And that's what it means to worship the Lord in spirit. It's not just going through the motions. It's our hearts are in it. Now notice he then says, worship the Lord in truth. Now, the Samaritans had a form of worship, but it was false. It wasn't based on scriptural authority. So we need to make sure that our worship aligns with God's word. So what's interesting is that when Jesus said, worship the Lord in spirit and truth, he's actually rebuking the Jews and the Samaritans. And he wants them and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And here's the good news. When we worship the Lord, John 6:63 says, the Spirit gives life. I love that verse. If you haven't memorized it, it's such an amazing verse. The Spirit gives life. That when we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, I believe there's like a divine, something's happening, and the Lord is pouring into us his divine life. Now, one of my role models, many of you know this, was the late Billy Graham. And I just appreciated his humility, his integrity, his commitment to the Bible. And I remember reading an article once where they asked him, you know, why was your ministry so successful? And this is what he said. He said, first of all, I prayed without ceasing. You know, there's a verse that says, pray without ceasing. So he trained himself to not just pray, you know, at church on Sundays or just pray in the devotion. He literally would just try to carry on a conversation with the Lord throughout his day. The second thing he said was he talked about how he was continually ingesting the Word of God. And one of the ways he would do this, because he traveled a lot, and one of the ways he would do this is when he was like in a hotel room, he'd always have an open Bible out. And it was just a symbol that when he walked by it, and he would just kind of take in, even if it was a little bit. And I kind of liken it this. Remember when people used to drink from water fountains? Remember those days? I think we actually have one in that side of the building, way over there. But do you guys remember that? Like you'd be walking by and there's a water fountain and you'd stop and drink. And that's kind of how he'd see the Bible, is he'd be walking by, oh, there's a Bible, I got to take a drink. And it's interesting to me that he attributed those two things to his effectiveness in ministry. And what are those things? They're really about just connecting with the living water and having the Lord pour his spirit into us. And if you don't get anything else, I hope you get this. You were made to drink from a different well. When you leave this building, everything is going to say to you, drink in these all these other places. No, you are made to drink from the living water. Now, what to me is amazing is that the transformation that happens in this woman. Again, this was the woman who they probably talked about at Hy-Vee. You know, there she is, you know, the one that's had five husbands. And man, she's kind of dressed immodest today. And she just wants the attention of the men. And this was the one that had the reputation. And this was the one that came to the well to avoid people. And yet, she went back to town and said, come and see. Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. And this woman who at one time avoided people started inviting people. And that's what the living water does. That when you've tasted the living water, there's a part of you that will just have to say to others, come and see. Now, one of the things we've been talking about all year is the open chairs. And this represents the open chairs in our church. It represents the open chairs in heaven. And really, it's about having that experience with the Lord where we follow the example of this woman. Could you imagine if all of us left here today and just was like, wow, I got to have others come and drink from the living waters. I want to tell my neighbors, I want to tell my coworkers, I want to tell my family, man, you got to come and experience Jesus. Let's not let the world's greatest gift become the world's greatest secret. And by the way, we have an amazing opportunity coming up in a few weeks. It's called Easter. And did you know many people this time of year, it's the, like Christmas and Easter are the times when people who don't normally go to church, they're open to be invited. And I just want to encourage you to just take a moment and pray. Who is someone in your life? And maybe it's more than one person. This woman like told the whole town that the Lord wants you to invite to come and experience the living water. Now look what happened. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of this woman's testimony. Everything, he told me everything I did. Wow. Talk about a transformation. Now, why was she such an effective witness? Why was her testimony so effective? Many people from the town, could you imagine that being said about you? That, wow, many people have come to faith in Christ. Many people have come to the church family because of your testimony. What did she do that made her such an effective evangelist? Well, someone has said that she talked to Jesus 6 times and then she invited them. And talking to Jesus, another word for that is prayer. Right? So we need to make sure that our evangelism is bathed in prayer. We need to make sure that our witnessing and testimony is talk to God before you talk to someone else. In other words, she talked with the Lord, and through that, the Lord helped her. But here's what I want us to think about today. Imagine if our message to this community was, come and enjoy the living water of Jesus with us. Come and see the one who brought satisfaction to my heart. Now, how many of you have ever been to Waldrug? Anyone ever been to Waldrug? I actually made it this summer. I went there. I mean, I went there. I did. And I, you know, I'd seen some billboards over the years, and I finally went there. And the thing that I liked best about Waldrug, are you listening? Say amen. Here's the thing that intrigued me the most was the story behind it. And in 1930, Waldrug's was a small, struggling pharmacy in this small town of Wall, South Dakota. Business was slow, and the owners, Ted and Dorothy Husted, wondered if they were going to even keep the doors open. But one hot summer day in 1936, Dorothy had an idea. What if we give free ice water to the travelers who are traveling across the prairie? And they set up signs that said, free ice water at Waldrug. Well, thirsty people would stop, and then they would buy food and souvenirs and supplies, and word began to spread quickly. And now it's become this famous roadside destination. You know, I was envisioning this week, what if we became the Waldrug of this area? We're offering the greatest gift in the world, the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about it. Our community is thirsty. And what if we had that attitude when we see someone living an immoral lifestyle? When we see some, what if we didn't condemn them? Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I don't know about you, but I want to have a ministry like Jesus. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. What if we had a spirit like Jesus, and we just offered the living water? What if our attitude was, come and drink. Come and see the one who satisfies the soul. Because Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. See, you and I were made to drink from a different well, the well of living water. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this message today that helps us to just examine our heart and ask the question, have we bought into the world's plan? Have we bought into the plan that we're to find satisfaction in all these other places? God, forgive us for those moments when we drink from the broken cisterns of this world. Lord, thank you that yesterday ended last night. Thank you that today is a new day. You know, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart today, and the Holy Spirit has revealed some dirty places you're drinking from. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's flirting with someone and you're married. Maybe it's other things like materialism. Maybe it's money. What? The purpose of our messages is never condemnation. It's redemption. But notice how Jesus said, you're right, you've had five husbands, and the one you're... In other words, he had to come get her to the point where she acknowledged the truth. And that's what confession is. Confession is, Lord, I've been looking for love in the wrong places. And maybe that's you today. And I just want to encourage you today to talk to the Lord. Confess to him, Lord, I'm thirsty and I've been drinking in the wrong place. Please satisfy the hungers of my heart. Take away this desire for the broken cisterns. Take away the desire for the things that dishonor you. God, I pray also for those of us who are followers of you. God, I pray that we would get out of the Christian bubble. I pray that we would develop relationships with people who are not Christians. Why? So that we can invite them to the well. God, I pray for a fire to be lit in our spirits, that we have this high and holy mission, like this woman, to go into our towns and invite people to have the same relationship with you that we have. God, I just pray that you would spark in our church family a desire to reach your lost children. God, just please give us a greater desire to reach your lost children by inviting them to come to the family, by inviting them into a relationship with you. God, I just pray that this would be like a spiritual wall drug, that folks would know that there is free grace, there's free living water. It's costly grace, because it cost you your life, Jesus. And it doesn't mean we just live any way we want, but it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone boast. So Lord, today we've come to say, as of today, starting now, we're going to drink from that different water, that well of living water, that Holy Spirit. We're going to pray without ceasing. We're going to read your word. We're going to all day long, and then we're going to invite others to come and join us. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for every good thing we have, because we know it all comes from you. Help us to remember that we are not the source of all of our blessings, but grateful receivers of your grace. Teach us to give with open hands and trusting hearts. Remind us that you often provide through people in our lives, our families, our coworkers, our friends, and even those we serve. As we give, grow our faith and help us to trust that you are our true provider. May our generosity honor you and reflect our gratitude for all you've given us. We ask this in your name. Amen. So the ushers are going to come in a few moments to receive your tithes and offerings. We have ways that you can give digitally. Thank you so much for your generosity.